This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayah number 148. وَلِكُلِّ وَجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. For each is a direction toward which it faces. وَلِكُلِّ, for every, meaning for every person, for every human being, of every ummah, of every community. What does he have? Every person has a wijha. And this wijha, huwa muwalliha, he faces it. The word wijha is from the root letters waw, jim, ha. The word waj, face, is also from the same root. Wijha is that particular object which a person turns his face towards. So wijha is the objective, it is the goal, it is the direction that a person faces, that a person aims at. And the word wijha is used in both tangible and intangible sense. Tangible sense, for example, a person is facing a particular wall or a particular person physically. Intangible sense, for example, a person has a goal that he wants to achieve and he is striving to achieve it. He is pursuing it. There is a particular position that a person wants to acquire. So it becomes his goal. He is facing it. He is striving towards it. He is working towards it. So wijha is the objective of a person. Something that a person turns his face towards. It could be tangible and it could also be intangible. So for every person of every community, he has a purpose or a goal toward which he is focused to. Huwa muwalliha, he turns to it. The word muwalli, muwalli means one who turns to, ha, it. What does it refer to? The wijha. And the word muwalli, as you know, is from the root letters, waw, lam, ya. So we learn from this part of the ayah that every person has some goal. Every person has some interest. Whether it is tangible or intangible. Whether it is something of the deen or it is something of the dunya. Every person has some direction that he faces in his life, that he strives towards throughout his life. It could be a certain amount of wealth that a person is trying to achieve. It could be a certain person whom he loves, and all his mind, his attention, everything is directed towards him. Because remember, wijha is something that a person faces and he doesn't turn away from it. He continues to face it. So for example, if a person loves a particular person or loves doing a particular action, what is he going to do? Whenever he has free time, he's going to turn towards it, isn't it? Anytime he is free, he's going to think of doing it. Sometimes he is busy doing something else, but where is his mind? Where is his attention? Towards something else, towards his goal, towards that which he is truly facing. So every person has some goal, whether of the deen or the dunya, whether tangible or intangible. And this particular objective, a person is always thinking about it. He is always referring to it. It's always on his mind. And he is sad without it. He is sad without it. And if it's taken away from him, he feels as if there is nothing left in his life. Every person has some wijha. What is our wijha? What is our goal? What is our aim? What is it that I'm striving towards? What is it that I'm endeavoring to achieve? What is it that is always on my mind? Is it a particular person? Is it a superstar? Is it, you know, a particular game? Is it some kind of work? Is it some degree? What is it? Every person has some wijha. And having a wijha is something good, as long as a wijha itself is good. As long as the goal itself is good, having a goal is something very good. It's something essential. Because some people, they systematically plan out their life. They plan their goals, they set their goals. And when they set their goals, they achieve them as well. And if they're not able to achieve those goals in particular, at least they're able to get something in their hands. And if you don't set a goal, then what happens? You end up doing nothing. And the same time, it's gone. It flies away. Some people do not set any goals, and other people set goals. Over here Allah says, وَلِكُلِّنْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. Now the question is, what should our goal be? What should we be striving towards? Allah tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So race towards that which is good, towards the good deeds. Race to all that is good. The word istabiqu is from the root letter sin ba qaf. Sin ba qaf. Sabaqa means to get ahead. What does it mean? To get ahead, to go ahead. And istabiqu means to strive, to try, to get ahead of each other. To strive in order to reach a particular goal, in order to reach a particular destination. And in that process, what does a person do? He is striving to get ahead of other people. Just imagine a race that's called istibaq. واستبق الباب. In Surah Yusuf, istabaq الباب. So istibaq is to run towards something, towards a particular destination, towards a particular goal. And in that process, a person is also competing with others. Competing with who? Who is he competing with? Those who are also running towards that particular goal. So Allah tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. What should your focus be? What should your goal be? What should you be striving towards? What should you be aiming towards? الْخَيْرَاتِ. الْخَيْرَاتِ is a plural of خَيْرَة. And خَيْرَة is from خَيْرَة. And what is خَيْرَة? That which is good. So strive, race towards all that is good. Remember, any wijha, any goal that you set in life, what should we make sure? That it is something that is good. Good in the sense that it is of benefit to me. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And it is also something that is of benefit to others. For example, sometimes people go to university and they do a degree and they never use that knowledge that they have learned. They spend all that time, all that money, they get a paper in hand, and that's it. All that knowledge that they have learned or all those skills that they have acquired, what are they using them for? Sometimes they're just being wasted away. So whatever wijha we set, we should make sure that it is something beneficial. It is something khair. For me, for others, and more importantly, it is something that Allah approves of. Because in the context over here, khairat refers to obedience to the Prophet ﷺ and carrying out the commands that Allah has given us. So everyone has a goal. And the goal, or the qibla that was given to the Muslims was what? The Kaaba. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. Wherever that you all are, anywhere that you will be. أَيْنَ is used for place as well, just as حَيْثُ is used. And when مَا is followed by it, it means wheresoever. Wherever you are, whether you're on land, whether you're on water, where you're under the water, in a submarine, in the space, no matter where you are. يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Allah will bring all of you together. When? On the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah is capable over everything. So what do we learn from this? That whatever purpose, whatever goal that we choose for our lives, we must remember that at the end, where are we going? Where are we going? To Allah. We're going towards the Day of Judgment. So whatever goal that I'm setting today should be something that's going to help me later on. Which is why Allah tells us, no matter what you do, make sure, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Strive towards, run towards race towards that which is good. Any particular good has not been mentioned, because everybody has different abilities. But the criteria has been given. It should be khair. Also, we need to check ourselves. What am I racing towards? What is my goal in life? What are my goals? What's the center of my life? What is the top priority in my life? What is that thing that I keep returning to? Is it my computer? Is it my cell phone? Is it my email? What is it? What is it that's always on my mind? That is a wajha. Is it something khair? If it's good, good. If it's not, then we have to change it. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ And from wherever you came out, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ Then turn your face toward al-Masjid al-Haram. The command is repeated again. And this command again is in the singular form, so it is addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ Wherever you came out, meaning if you're not at home, you're out, you're traveling, and when you have to pray, what should you do? فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ Face in the direction of the Masjid al-Haram. Now the question is, why is this command repeated again? Two reasons have been given. First of all, the command is repeated for the purpose of emphasis. For the purpose of emphasis. That make sure, every time you pray, you must face the Kaaba. And it is something that is part of observing the salah properly. If a person does not care about the qibla, then his salah is not proper. Then he's not doing iqamat al-salah. Iqamat al-salah, one of the conditions is to fulfill all of the requirements, all of the prerequisites. Pray in the manner that is prescribed. What is the manner that is prescribed that a person should face the qibla? So over here, the command is repeated to emphasize the importance of facing the Kaaba. It is mandatory. Secondly, it has also been said that over here in this command, specifically, what is being pointed out is that even when you're traveling, even when you're journeying, what should you do? You should face the Kaaba when it comes to Fard Salah. Unless obviously, as we discussed earlier, that it's not within the means of a person to figure out which direction the Qibla is. Because if you look at the ayah, it says, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ From wherever that you came out. Meaning you come out of the house, then you're traveling. Right? You come out of your city, you leave your city, and you're traveling. You're on the road. So no matter where you're traveling towards, no matter where you come out of, when it is time to pray, face the Kaaba. وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ And indeed it is the truth from your Lord. What is the truth from your Lord? Facing the Kaaba in salah. The Qibla being Kaaba. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ And Allah is not at all unaware about what you do. Previously it was said, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ And that was about the Ahlul Kitab. Now Allah says, Allah is not unaware of what you do. Meaning, if you really observe this command or not. Allah knows what we're doing. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ And from wherever you go out for prayer, turn your face toward al-Masjid al-Haram. Now the command is mentioned for the third time. Why? Again for emphasis. Again it is for the purpose of emphasis. And some say that over here, the command is being emphasized to completely despair the people of the book from hoping that the Muslims would ever face Jerusalem again in prayer. Because the Banu Israel, they wanted the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims to continue to face their own Qibla, to continue to face Baytul Maqdis. But over here, the command is given again and again. What does that show? That you're not facing Jerusalem again. You're facing the Kaaba. And according to others, they say that the three repetitions of the command refer to three different situations. The three repetitions of the command, what do? They refer to three different situations. The first command, we've been told that the command is for who? For those who are at Makkah and in the vicinity of the Kaaba. The first command that was given is for who? For those who are within Makkah. The second command is for those who are away from the Kaaba and everywhere else outside of Makkah. And the third command is for those who are traveling. So the three commands, yes, they do give us the meaning of emphasis, but they're also referring to three different situations. The first command is for those who are within Makkah. The second command is for those who are away from Makkah. And the third command is for those who are traveling. Another interpretation has been given to the repetition of the commands. And what is that? That the first command is meant to contradict the assumption of the Yahud that the Prophet ﷺ would follow their Qibla. So the first command is to give the command to the Prophet ﷺ that he must face the Kaaba in prayer. The second command is that the order applies to all places, all times. The second command tells us that it's not just limited for the Prophet ﷺ and for that particular time, but it is for all places and all times. And the third, it has been said that there should not be any deviation from the Qibla. The third is what? That there should be no deviation from the Qibla. Meaning you should never ever turn away from the Qibla. You should always face the Qibla. So the first is specific to the Prophet ﷺ's time. The second is that it refers to all places and all times. And the third is, third command has been given to emphasize that a person should always face the Kaaba no matter where he is. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. And wherever you are, turn your faces toward it. And again, because this is in plural, this command is to the believers. Now, why face the Kaaba? Why was this Qibla given? لِأَلَّا, so that not. لِأَلَّا is a combination of li meaning for, an meaning that, and la meaning not. لِأَلَّا, so that not. Meaning face the Qibla no matter where you are, in Makkah, outside of Makkah, traveling, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, or afterwards, no matter where you are, you have to face the Kaaba. Every single Muslim has to face the Kaaba in prayer. Why? لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةً. So that people do not have any argument against you. Which people? It could be the Ahlul Kitab, it could be the Mushrikeen, it could be anyone. And the word Hujjah is used for an argument and a proof that is presented in order to negate the other person. So no one has any argument against you. What does it mean by this argument? You see, the Makkans, they would say about the Prophet ﷺ that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam claims to follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isn't it? We've been told so many times, فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ Ibrahim. Follow the way of Ibrahim. But look at him, he is not facing the Kaaba. He is facing Jerusalem now. That's what they would say. He claims to be the follower of Ibrahim, but he is not facing the Qibla of Ibrahim. On the other hand, the Yahud, they would say about the Prophet ﷺ that he refused to follow Judaism. He's not a follower of Judaism, and he has adopted the Qibla of the Jews when the Prophet ﷺ faced Jerusalem. They would say he's not a Yahudi. He's not following our religion. But at the same time, he's following our Qibla. So people would come up with all of these objections. When this command was given that you face the Kaaba, then all of these objections, what were they? They were completely negated. They were completely in void. I mean, they were not relevant anymore. The people of Makkah, the Mushrikeen, they couldn't say, oh, he claims to be a follower of Ibrahim, but he doesn't follow the same Qibla. The Yahud couldn't say, he claims to be, you know, a Muslim, and he's following our Qibla, when we are actually Yahud. He's not actually of the Bani Israel. So all of these arguments that were given, they were all made futile. How? By the command being given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow the qibla. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, except for those people who do dhulm amongst them. What does it mean by that? Meaning those people who do dhulm, they will continue to object. They will continue to have a problem. They will continue to present arguments against you. They will spread propaganda. What does that show? What does that show? That sometimes, no matter what you do, people are not going to be happy. Even if you're on the truth, people will continue to object. So what should you do? Obey Allah. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ, so do not fear them. وَخْشَوْنِي, and instead you should fear me. Don't fear them. Don't fear the people. Fear me. Now, the word خَشْيَة is from the root letters خَا, شِين, يَا. And خَشْيَة is also used for fear. But what kind of fear is it? It is said that khashiyah is due to knowing the greatness of the one whom a person fears. Why does he fear him? Because he realizes how great he is. Why does a person fear Allah? Because he realizes how great Allah is. Khawf, on the other hand, can also be of something that is very insignificant. Okay? For example, some people, they have khawf of flies or insects or spiders. So they're very tiny things, very small creatures, but huge people, they're scared of them. I know of a person who's very tall and they're scared of cats. And I remember a small cat came in front of them once, and the fear on their face, that is what khawf is. Khawf is due to what? Due to the smallness of your heart. And khashiyah is because of realizing the greatness of the other. So don't consider them to be so great. Don't be in awe of them. Don't fear them. وَخْشَوْنِي, and fear me, meaning fear Allah. Don't fear them, and as a result of that fear, leave the Kaaba, leave the right qibla. No, don't do that. Fear me, and continue to observe my command. So no matter how much they criticize, no matter how much they talk against you, no matter how much they argue, don't listen to them. Because Allah has given you a specific command and you must observe that command. وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ, and so that I may complete my ni'mah upon you. لِأُتِمَّ, أُتِمَّ is from the root letters تَمِيمِيم. We did the word أَتَمَّهُنَّ earlier, from إِتْمَام, which is to complete and perfect something. And so that I may complete my favor upon you. Which favor? Which blessing? The blessing of deen. The blessing of guidance. The blessing of Islam. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and so that you are rightly guided. So that you obtain guidance. So we see in this verse that three reasons have been given for following the Kaaba. And right before these three reasons, we see a lot of emphasis on facing the Kaaba. Not following, but facing. Facing the Kaaba in prayer. There is a lot of emphasis. The command has been given three times. Why have we been told to face the Kaaba no matter where we are, whether we're traveling or in Makkah or we're outside of Makkah? Why? For three reasons. What are those three reasons? First of all, we see over here, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةً, so that the people don't have any argument against you. They don't have anything left to say against you. Because the people might say, look at these Muslims, they face the Kaaba when they're in Makkah, and when they're elsewhere, they face another direction. Or when they're at home, they face the Kaaba, and when they're elsewhere, they don't face the Kaaba. Right? Just as people today, they object that, look at these Muslims, they pray sometimes and they don't pray other times. Isn't it? You've heard of it? How come you pray and that Muslim that I know of, he doesn't pray or she doesn't pray? How come you wear the hijab and that person is also Muslim, she doesn't wear the hijab? Huh? So, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةً, so that people don't have any argument against you. Be consistent. in your actions. The second reason that has been given is لِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ, so that I may complete the favor upon you, so that the deen can be completed. So the reason why the Kaaba was determined as the Qibla is for the completion of the deen. And the changing of the Qibla was part of the completion of the deen, the blessing of Islam. Because all of the messengers, their Qibla was the Kaaba. And the Yahud, the Nasara, what did they do? They began facing the Bayt al-Maqdis. What was the original hukum? Facing the Kaaba. And so now, the Prophet ﷺ being the last messenger, when he was given the command, face the Kaaba, the deen was perfected. The third reason, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that you can be guided. Why? Because guidance cannot be attained, cannot be achieved without the completion of deen. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا, just as we sent among you a messenger. What does it mean by that? That just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a messenger in order to guide you, similarly, He has ordained the Qibla for your guidance. Because how does the previous ayah end? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. So just as He has sent a messenger to guide you, similarly, He has ordained the Qibla for your guidance. Or, just as the Qibla is a part of perfecting the deen, completing the deen, similarly, the messenger has been sent, why? To complete the deen, to perfect the deen. Just as the Qibla is a huge blessing, the messenger was also a big blessing. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا, just as we sent among you a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, minkum, from among you, meaning he was also a human being. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا, he recites upon you our verses. He read the verses. He didn't just give the verses to them in written form. He recited the verses upon the people. Because hearing the recitation has a completely different impact. And also, he read the Qur'an, he recited the verses, just as the verses were recited upon him. Jibreel read the Qur'an to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, as he heard it, he conveyed it to us. So what are we supposed to do? How should we recite the Qur'an? The way that it was revealed. يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Many times we don't give importance to recitation of the Qur'an. We see a lot of extremes within Muslims. Some focus entirely on improving the recitation. Others focus entirely on understanding the text. Both are equally important. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. And we notice over here that tilawa is mentioned first. Tilawa is mentioned first. What does that show? That tilawa is what? Is the first thing that needs to be done. Improving a person's recitation is the first thing that needs to be done when acquiring the knowledge of the deen. It's like the basic step. That's one of the first things that should be focused on, which is why within the Muslim community people focus a lot on children learning to recite the Quran from a very young age. Because that's the first thing. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, and he also purifies you. The Prophet ﷺ didn't just give knowledge to the people, but he also purified them. How did he purify them? How did he purify them? This is understood in several ways. By telling them what is right and what is wrong, so that people do that which is right and leave that which is wrong, and hence cleanse themselves, purify themselves, improve themselves. Also, he purified them how? By removing shirk, kufr, sin away from their lives. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and he teaches you the book. He didn't just recite the book. What did he do? He taught them the book. He taught them the meanings of the book. He taught them how to implement the book. He taught them about the words of the book as well. So يُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ how? By teaching them its words, by teaching them the meanings of the words, and by practically showing them how to implement the book as well. And he also taught the people what? وَالْحِكْمَةِ and the wisdom. The Prophet ﷺ also taught wisdom. What is wisdom? First of all, the wisdom behind the commands as to why a particular command has been given. Because when a person understands that, then it is easy for him to apply. I mentioned to you that hadith about the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, give me permission to commit zina. And that entire incident that I told you about. So through that conversation, what did the Prophet ﷺ make that man understand? That you should not commit zina because of such and such reason. Because people don't like it when you do zina with their mother or their daughter or their spouse or so on and so forth. And secondly, wisdom, hikmah is also how to act upon a certain command. How to act upon a certain command, which is the sunnah. Because the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ teaches us how to act upon the commands, how to implement the commands. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ and he teaches you ma that which lam takunu ta'lamun, which you did not have ilm of, which you did not know before. What is it that the Prophet ﷺ was teaching people? The deen. The matters of the deen, as well as matters of the dunya. Reality of life, the purpose of life. The Arabs were an unlettered nation. They didn't know. They didn't have knowledge. And after the Prophet ﷺ, according to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that when the Messenger of Allah left us, there was not a bird that flies, but he had informed us about it. Meaning he had given us details of every single thing. Before the knowledge of the deen, they saw a bird, okay, it's a bird. After the knowledge of the deen, what is this bird? It's the khalq of Allah. There are lessons to be learned from that bird. So, the deen that the Prophet ﷺ taught to the people, he taught us, we learn from this deen those things which we had no idea about, which we were not born with. When it comes to deen, we take deen very lightly and we think it's not that important. We don't give much importance to learning the deen. Remember, we're not born with the knowledge of the deen. We have to learn it. Nobody's a born doctor. Nobody's a born journalist. What do people do? They learn. Similarly, deen has to be learned. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. You didn't know before. And you only know now. Why? Because the Prophet taught you. So similarly, there are many things that we are unaware of and we can only get to know about them when we learn the deen, when we try to study the deen. And also remember that if there's something that we don't know, we're unaware of, but it is important for us, would you learn it? Would you learn it? For example, knowing how to cook. You don't know about it. But when you're hungry and you're on your own, what are you going to say? No, no, no. Learning how to cook is not important. I'm not going to waste my time standing in the kitchen cooking. Okay, stay hungry. Stay hungry. Is it important to learn? Of course it is. So similarly, deen is important for us to learn. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ And upon gaining this knowledge, Allah says, in the previous ayah, that just as giving you the qibla is a big favor, we have sent the messenger also to you as favoring you, as a part of guiding you. So after attaining this huge favor, the guidance of the messenger, the teachings of the messenger, what should you do with all this knowledge that you have learned? فَذْكُرُونِي then remember me, أَذْكُرْكُمْ I will remember you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ ذِكْر ذَال كَافْرَ And what does ذِكْر mean? To remember something, to not forget something, to make mention of something. So remember me, how? Through prayer, through tasbih, with your qalb, with your lisan, with your jawarih, in your heart, on your tongue, through your limbs. Remember me. Don't forget me. Adhkurkum, I will remember you. Just as we read earlier, awfu bi'ahdi, ufi bi'ahdikum. So what do we learn? That we should remember the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We should not forget about them. And we should be grateful for them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about this ayah that udhkuruni bita'ati. Remember me by obeying me. Adhkurkum bimaghfirati. I will remember you with my forgiveness. Remember me how? By obeying me. And I will remember you how? By forgiving you. What are the different ways in which a person can remember Allah? Through salah, through tasbih, remembering Allah in the heart, in our daily conversation, making mention of Allah, saying Alhamdulillah, saying Insha'Allah, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 28, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance and who follows his desire. A person who doesn't remember Allah is not worthy of being obeyed. So, remember Allah. Also we learn in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 191, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah while standing or sitting or lying on their sides. So when should we remember Allah? All the time. فَذْكُرُونِي. This is general. Remember me all the time. Not just in salah. Not just when you're praying. But remember me all the time. And as a result, أَذْكُرْكُمْ. I will also remember you. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I come up to the expectations of my servant. I am as my servant thinks I am. I am with him when he remembers me. When a person remembers Allah, Allah is with him. When he makes mention of me in his heart, I make mention of him to myself. When he mentions me in a gathering, I mention him in a better gathering of the angels. The Prophet ﷺ, he would say astaghfirullah even when he would be among other people. Even when he would be with the sahaba, with the companions. So remember Allah all the time, when you're alone, when you're with people. Because the key to having Allah remember you is doing what? Remembering Allah. If you want Allah to remember you, what should you do? Remember Him. And what a great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a person. Allah mentions a person. Washkuruni, and be grateful to me. Wala takfuruni, and do not be ungrateful to me. Washkuru is from shukr. And what does shukr mean? Gratitude. So be grateful for me. For what? For the blessings that I have given you. For the blessing of the qibla. And remember that part of expressing shukr is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this command that Allah has given you, follow it. Obey it. It's a part of doing shukr to Allah. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِي. And do not be ungrateful to me. تَكْفُرُونِي. Notice the ni at the end? It indicates me. And look at the word kufr over here. What does kufr mean? Disbelief, denial. But over here, it's being used in contrast to shukr. Shukr is gratitude and kufr is ingratitude. Because kafara literally means to hide something, to cover something. And when a person is ungrateful for another's favor, what is he doing? He's hiding, he's concealing the favor. So, washkuruli. What does it mean by shukr? Continue to obey me. Carry out the commands that I give you. Stay away from the prohibitions. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِي. And do not be ungrateful to me. How? By disobeying me. Do not disobey me. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَلِكُلٍّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ لِئَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَاخْشَوْنِي وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ
So what's the main lesson? That this hidayah, this knowledge that Allah has given, be grateful for it. And how will you be grateful for it? By obeying Allah. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِي And do not be ungrateful to Allah. What is ingratitude? Disobeying Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.